ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Health.
I wonder whether you've noticed the increase of the word protein in health messaging. You know, eat more protein. Are you getting enough protein? And plenty of food manufacturers have also jumped on the bandwagon. You head to the grocery store, you'll find all manner of items these days have got added protein. Cereal, bread, even things that naturally have protein, like cheese and yogurt. Have we all been going without enough protein until now, really? Or is it just the next food marketing fad similar to the fat-free trend of the 90s? Well, to help us navigate the world of protein and food marketing, we're joined by Dr. Emma Beckett. Emma's a food and nutrition scientist at the Australian Catholic University. Emma, good evening to you. Welcome to Nightlife.
Hello, thanks for having me.
I hope you've had your slab of protein for the day, have you? I presume so.
I'm pretty sure I've had enough because it's very hard to not have enough if you're eating a healthy, balanced diet.
Why do we need to eat protein anyway? What's the story?
So protein is what we call a macronutrient. So it's digested to give us energy, but it also has lots of really important jobs in the body in terms of creating structures. So basically everything in the body that is something solid is built out of proteins. So that's everything from, you know, parts of cells to, you know, parts of organs and all of the signaling molecules and everything else. So proteins really are kind of a basic building block of life.
So proteins build things and do repairs and fill in holes and all that sort of thing. They don't actually give us energy as such.
No, proteins also give energy. So okay. If they're not used as those building blocks, if they're not incorporated into structures, they're still digested to release energy. And then that excess energy, if we're not going to use it, will be stored as fat.
Are all proteins created equal or are there different types of protein?
No, so there's different types of protein in a couple of ways. So we've got what we call amino acids. So amino acids are the building blocks of the proteins. And some of those are essential to life. And so some protein foods will be what we call complete protein sources and have all of the essential amino acids, and others won't. And so we need to eat our proteins in combination sometimes to get everything that we need. And then you can compare your natural proteins with your processed proteins. So our natural proteins are going to come with that kind of complete package. And a natural protein food will have things like bioactive compounds, which is a big word for a big way of saying that they're things in foods that are good for us. And so we get those in our natural protein foods, but we don't necessarily get those in our processed protein foods when the protein has just been added.
Mm. All right. So if you eat an egg, for example, it's got a lot of protein, but you should eat other types of protein as well, you're saying?
So an egg is actually a good example of a complete protein. So you'll get all of the amino acids you need in that, and it's also a natural protein, so it'll have some good bioactive compounds as well.
Okay, what about a steak?
Steak is also very close to complete. It has almost everything you need, or it has everything you need, just not necessarily always in the ratios that we need.
So what about some soybeans? That's got protein.
Yeah, so plant foods are typically our incomplete sources, and we start to combine them. But of all the plant foods, soybeans are actually one of the best. So they're the best complete source when it comes to plants. But this is a really good point because people often forget that you can get proteins from foods that we don't call proteins. So we call meat a protein when we're talking about our food groups sometimes. But there's protein because it builds structures. There's protein in almost all of our foods, including our plant foods.
Mm. How much protein should we be eating? I mean, can you eat too much?
You can eat too much. You can eat too much of anything. I guess that is literally what too much means.
What happens to it if you eat too much?
So too much protein from the processed sources. So if you're having too much protein from a supplement, that could be causing problems for your kidneys and your liver. It could cause problems with dehydration and upset stomachs. And from natural sources, it's really hard to overeat protein to the point of those kinds of upsets. But it is possible that if you're eating too much protein from the natural sources, that you upset the balance, because our recommendations for getting some of our energy from carbs, some from protein, and some from fats isn't just about the function of those macronutrients in the body. It's about what comes with those macronutrients. So, you know, our high protein foods have a particular set of micronutrients, a particular set of vitamins and minerals and bioactives. And if we go too hard on the protein or one of the others, we risk upsetting that balance and not getting everything we need, or making it harder for us to get everything that we need.
So when it comes to food labeling, what's the difference between protein, high protein, and increased protein claims?
This is a really great question, because often when we see the word protein, we think it means lots of protein or more protein than the one that doesn't say protein. But just saying protein means it's a source of protein, and a source of protein has to have at least 5 grams of protein per serve. A good source of protein or a high protein label means it's got twice that much, 10 grams of protein per serve. The trick there is what a serve is set by the manufacturer. It's not a standard kind of comparison. So you need to actually read the labels and compare between those products. And then if it says increased protein, it has to be 25% more than the standard version of the same food. So if you see, for example, a cheese where one of them doesn't say protein and the other one does, it doesn't necessarily mean that that protein labeled cheese has a significant amount more. It just means it's gone over that 5 gram threshold.
Yes, you speak of the mini Baby Bell cheese example, the regular red version versus the black version, but there's not much difference.
Exactly. And people were choosing that black version, thinking that they were, you know, pumping up their nutrition. And then once people read the fine print on the back, they realized it was a very small difference. And there's so many examples like that in the supermarket right now.
In fact, in the Baby Bell version, there was just a 0.4 of a gram difference between the regular and protein versions. Yeah. All right. These protein claims are misleading. So just to recap, how many grams of protein should we eat a day, do you reckon?
So it depends on the person. The recommendation to avoid deficiency, so to make sure you have enough for energy and building all those structures, is to get 0.8 grams per kilogram of your body weight.
Okay.
So if you work out how much you weigh and times that by 0.8, that tells you how much protein you need. But it's important to remember that is protein as the nutrient, not the protein foods. So you're not looking for that much of steak or eggs or whatever. That's actually the protein itself, which is only part of those foods.
This is the point, though. It's not the weight of the steak. It's not the 250 grams of steak. Yeah. It's not 250 grams of protein.
Exactly. Right, yeah. Okay. So an egg will have some fats, it'll have some, you know, micronutrients and the water and all those other things in it. So one egg will not be a pure source of protein. But if you're having a protein powder, then obviously that's a lot more concentrated.
The packaging's funny, isn't it? I mean, this black packaging which is around, and we just talked about the Baby Bell black and red cheeses, for example, is often used to signal premium or performance product. For some reason, if they're packaged in black, it's upgrading, isn't it? We think of all the power bars and protein powders at the supermarket in black packaging. Where did this trend emerge?
The psychologists figured out quite a while ago in marketing that the blacks and the golds symbolized premium to people.
Okay.
And some of that would have happened through trial and error, and some of it would have happened through, you know, the repeated pattern of the marketers using it to differentiate between different products. But there's also this kind of vibe of black for masculine, which I think they're leveraging in the protein a little bit, because the protein is about, you know, strength and, you know, gym culture and that kind of thing. So it kind of makes sense that they're pushing towards that masculine kind of vibe.
It's funny, isn't it? I mean, we laugh at it, but it works, doesn't it? We are fooled by it.
And a lot of human brain and a lot of our food decisions particularly is subconscious decision making. And so we like to think we're very deliberate when it comes to these food choices, but there absolutely is a lot of subliminal messaging that's just nudging us in particular directions. And most people will say, oh, well, I'm not buying that because it's premium or because it's masculine. But at the back of our brain, there's always that kind of thing at work.
Mm. You talk about the health halo effect, which is a sort of a psychological trick in influencing our perception of food. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so the health halo is when a food has one attribute that we think is healthy or health promoting, we kind of give a free pass to everything else that's in the food. And so just by having protein written on the package, we assume that that food is going to be a health food. And that unfortunately is not necessarily the case, particularly with a lot of these, you know, very processed convenience protein foods that we're seeing in the supermarket these days.
All right. Look, in summary, I'm speaking with Dr. Emma Beckett, who's a nutrition scientist. In summary, if you're trying to get the most protein for your dollar, what are the top tips here?
So the most bang for buck probably actually comes from your plant foods, your protein supplements and your convenience protein products. So the ones in the packages are quite expensive in terms of how much protein you get. Your meats can be quite, and eggs can be quite expensive as well. Of the meats, probably chicken is the cheapest one. But because there's some protein in all of our plant foods, and because there's so much other good stuff in our plant foods as well, if you're eating a lot of plant foods throughout the day, you can, in a very economical way, add up all of the protein you need actually quite quickly.
Hmm. Yeah, that's right. I mean, by eating a plant-based diet, you certainly get enough protein, but you have to make sure that you do probably more carefully than if you're a meat eater. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, technically you might need to think about it a little bit more on a plant-based diet, but if you have a variety of foods, you don't actually need to think about it because that variety, that assembly of those amino acids will take care of itself essentially.
The age-old thing, eat different colours.
And that is exactly why we say it, so that we don't need to think so hard about getting all the things.
Yeah. Good on you, Emma. Appreciate your time. It's been good to talk with you. Dr. Emma Beckett's been with us, Senior Lecturer in Nutrition and Food Science at the Australian Catholic University. She's a nutrition scientist and always eats a good sound breakfast. Emma, good to talk. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.